Minnie Pearl used to say, howdy. Minnie Pearl and her friend from Grinder Switch had made an agreement that however many kisses they got on their date, they would say good morning. Minnie's friend met her that morning and she said, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. And Minnie said, I said, morning. Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on the beliefs that Americans have held for generations. March the 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry walked to the front of the Bruton Parish Church. He said, it is vain, sir, to accentuate the moment. Why sit we here idle? The next gale from the north will bring to our ears the sudden cries. What is it that the gentlemen seek? Brother Frank, what is it that they desire? Is life so sweet and peace so sure that we would give up our liberties? He said, God forbid. Give me liberty or give me death. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle is not ours alone, sir. Dr. Adrian Rogers, just a few years ago, the great Baptist preacher, said, the time will come when we'll have anarchy in the government, apostasy in the pulpits, and apathy in the pews. A teacher asked a little boy on the front row at school, she said, Johnny, can you tell me the difference between ignorance and apathy? He said, teacher, I don't know and I don't care. We're living in very perplexing times, but I don't want to come here with just a negative report. I want to try to help you this week. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and I believe that maybe we can do that today. Would you stand as we read four verses of Scripture here, Acts chapter 8, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you, Brother Bacino, and thank you for the church for allowing me to come. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be at our best for you in Jesus' name and amen. You know, as I think about these scriptures today, I think that we have to look and wonder. These are perplexing times. We faced perplexing times before. Was it not in the Civil War that we lost more people than had done in the American Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, Spanish-American War? World War I and maybe two. We have several grandchildren, and they think I'm a good poppy. I have to have intimate donuts, and I have to go get them. And they'll say, "Poppy, where are the donuts?" And I don't care. You can be in the middle of a snowstorm. You got to go get the donuts. I have practiced trying to say no to those kids, and it won't come out. Shirlene and our daughter Angie, she's real persnickety. Angie is about what she eats. You know, modern parents, they, you know, eat all that real good stuff. And I say, you know, load up on sugar. It'll be good for you. They went to Goodwill, left me with the kids. And I said, "Kids, I think there's pop in the refrigerator. There's ice cream and some cookies." Well, when they came back, the kids had a faraway look on their face. It was like they had discovered the seventh ring around Pluto. And Angie looked at me and she said, "Dad, you didn't." I said, "I did." Now they won't leave them with me. They leave them with hitchhikers before they will leave with me. But these children today growing up, you know, things have changed. See, I'm the son of old age. My dad was born in 1891. Things were different back when I was growing up. You know what I'm talking about. Today, everything in the modern home is run by switches except the kids. You know, years ago, they believed in the Board of Education. They believed that it would correct attitudes and behavior. They gave me a psychological maladjustment. I learned to say thank you, please, and all like that. It's a different culture today. There was persecution back here. Stephen, the great deacon, had just been martyred. We've always had persecution. When you look back at the time of the Roman rule there, people were put into prison and all like that. And I want to say something to you. I don't want to be political, but I'm going to give you my thoughts today. We may be facing the most serious division in America that we've faced in a long time. It's a cultural war. Somebody said, "What is culture?" I know you all know, but let me repeat it. Culture consists of the arts, the literature, the music of any people. When you have music that glorifies cop killing, something's wrong. When you have the ACLU, and I didn't know what the ACLU stood for until just a few years ago. It means American Criminal Lawyers Association. You know, if the people, the jihadists, you know, the people that brought havoc on America September 11th, if they ever get the energy of the liberals, they'll have indoor plumbing. I think these people were scattered abroad. Do you think maybe I'm wrong? Is the time going to come when you and I will be driven underground if we're going to have church? How much longer will they allow an old country-style preacher like me the opportunity to get in the pulpits? I want to give you something. Truth becomes hate to those who hate the truth. I want to say that one again. Truth becomes hate to those who hate the truth. I believe it was George Whitefield that said, "It's a poor sermon that neither irritates the preacher nor the congregation." Mark Twain said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man, often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." I saw a man this morning when I was lost on getting over here. I felt like that old song we used to sing, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. I was turned around. I didn't know where I was. I kept seeing signs that said Alabama. I thought Shirlene and I, she was praying. She started speaking in tongues. No, I'm lying right there. But the Bible said here that these folks, that there was a great persecution, first of all. I'll make this fast. There is a great persecution today. Somebody can't tell me that when a lady to the Supreme Court can't identify a woman, don't ask me if it's raining. I'm not a meteorologist. Something's wrong in America. Something's wrong when we're taking little children and biologically trying to change them into a transgender transformation. Something's wrong when we have schools that say a one-celled amoeba through a mutative process and a random selection ended up with what the scientists call a homo sapien, a thinking person. Something's wrong. See, down in the South where we grew up, we didn't know a whole lot. We didn't. We had people down there would come up to you and say, guess how many squirrels we got in this sack? We'll give you both of them. And so as a result, you know, we weren't expected. I had a cousin said his education, brother, got stopped at the third grade. I said, Lord, have mercy, what happened? He said, well, they sent me my draft notice. He said he had a situation that he knew about where he said he was 4 years in the third grade. I said, why did they move you? He said, they didn't want me and my dad to be in the same area. We're facing persecution. And it's not a popular message. The popular message is to tell people positive thinking that this is your best day. Have at it. Do you think, Brother Andrew, that for one moment that Noah stood outside that ark and said, hey, smile, God loves you. This is your best day. No, the flood is coming. Judgment's coming to America. Did you know, Brother Tom, that if you had a moment for every time a baby's been aborted, it'd take 100 years to go through it. And somebody said, what gets me with politicians? It got so cold in Washington, D.C. last year, they found two with their hands in their own pocket. The point of what I get upset about is the euphemism. You all know what that means, isn't it? Euphemisms is saying it's reproductive right when it's baby killing. There was a persecution. People were scattered. But I want to get on verse 4 and I want to highlight here for just a very few minutes. The Bible said, therefore they that went everywhere preaching the word. If there's any hope for America, it's this pulpit right here. And thousands like it across the country. Men that have died, martyrs' death for this Bible. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. You read about the heroes of the faith. We've got heroes right across over here. Brother Vecino took me over there and showed me some heroes where they're buried. I don't know them, but I'm glad today there's a God in heaven and He knows. He hasn't forgotten one of them. I feel like saying hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you something here. What does the gospel do for people? Would you like to know? May I tell you? The gospel enlightens people. You know what the gospel tells me? That I'm in need of a Savior. The gospel tells me that I need to be born again. Somebody said, when did you make a decision? I didn't make a decision about anything. I got saved. See, I'm an old-fashioned type guy. You'll have to put up with me just for two or three days. I'm of the vintage that says you must repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel. See, I believe the Word of God enlightens people. You know, you don't want to be, nor do I, want to be in darkness all of the time. The Bible says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. The gospel encourages me. Sometimes I get to wondering, where am I going to find any solace? I see a lot of people as I travel the country. The Lord's blessed us to be on about 20 television stations. I see a lot of people. A lot of people don't ever smile. They don't ever have any joy. It seems like down on their inside, you know, they go through and they'll just pass each other. Down south, where some of my people live, they liable to grab you and shake you or something. Ask you if you like cornbread fixed in a cast iron skillet. His brother made me hungry up here a while ago. It's his fault. He promised to have me a cornbread pone tonight. Is that right? Sure he did. He said, we'll either have that cornbread or I'll take... No, he didn't say it. The Bible examines us. You believe that? Sometimes we have to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor the day. They said, well, you need to stand 6 feet apart. I said, I only got two. My optometrist asked me, he said, what do you see? I said, it's what I don't see that concerns me. The gospel will exhort me to be a better Christian. That's why Brother Bacino's having meetings this week. He's put a lot of effort, and we want you to put a lot of effort. Amen? Anybody that's not here tonight will probably be arrested. The gospel is necessary for your home. Why try to get our kids into Harvard when we have the hope they can get into heaven? We try to teach our kids to be the next Lombardi or somebody when we should be trying to get them to line up with the gospel. Somebody said, what's important about the gospel? It's my favorite verse. Wow, I feel like preaching today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One time as a sinner, as a 14-year-old boy, I found my way at an old-fashioned altar. Now, you don't have to come here, but you can be saved right where you are, in the car, in the home. I believe it was Billy Graham that said this, and I think it's worth repeating. Being born in a Christian home won't any more make you a Christian than being born in a garage would make you a car. Have you been saved? If you flipped over in where you're sitting right now, what makes you think you're ready for heaven? How do you know that you know that you know? Shirley and I, we've come through the airport. And she'll say, honey, you got the tickets yesterday? She said, oh, I don't have my... I said, babe, I got it right up here. She's learned not to trust me. I mean, I could lose a grandfather clock on the way to the airport. And so as a result, she said, you got the tickets? One day I got a ticket. It was paid for. Hallelujah. And it was stamped, not LaGuardia Airport, but it was stamped heaven. That Jesus paid it all. Went to an old rugged cross, bore in his own body our sins on the tree. Man, is it all right if I preach? He that knew no sin became sin for me. He that was rich became poor so that I, through his poverty, could become rich. Hallelujah. Make me want to shout. I'm trying to get loose anymore. Used to be I wanted to maybe be a little bit more formal. And somebody told me something out of the state of Tennessee. You know, the state of Tennessee and Kentucky are close proximity. Now, the Tennesseans are a little bit lower down. Shirley was born in Tennessee. Everything is slow in Tennessee. It takes them an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Here's what this fella said. I want you to get it. He said, if you're going to glorify the Lord, you must be willing first to embarrass the flesh. Is that good? I don't go home to my wife and use real formal language, linguistics. I don't say, O thou fairest of pulchritude, colossal are thy amenities, wonderful are thy tributaries. You say, are you taking drugs? You know what I say? I said, hi, Lovey. I've been calling her Lovey. I don't know what got me started. You know Gilligan's Island, was it Lovey? What was that, Thurston somebody, the fourth or whatever? What, how? Yeah, she knows all about him. You met him, didn't you? Yeah, Thurston Howe. Well, anyway, I guess what I'm saying, when we go home, we just use those real sweet words. Now, here it comes. You ready? What if we did the same thing with the Lord? Where was it John wanted to put his head? Down at his feet? Somebody tell me. Was it on his bosom? John, the beloved disciple, hallelujah. He wanted to get down there and hear the heartbeat of his Savior. The one that would give him life and give it to him more abundantly. See, we've got an obligation to take this gospel not only into Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. When you go out that door right back there, that's your mission field. You're going to take the gospel. And I want to give this, I've only got a couple minutes here. They had power on what they did. If there's one thing that I need, you pray about it. I wish you would. I wish there'd be some power on my preaching. Power. You can study how to deliver a message, expository, alliteration, hermeneutics, eschatology, but unless there's some power from another world on your preaching, it'll not accomplish anything. Then they say that Peter, James, and John, they thought they were ignorant and unlearned persons, but they knew what? They've been with Jesus. It wasn't that they knew certain people in Washington, D.C. They'd been with Jesus. Do you know today that how long has it been since that good, sweet Holy Spirit just got bubbling over down in your soul and you said, glory to God. I don't know. Have I lost it or something? Don't answer. I might start believing it. But I'll be out in the car sometimes and I'll get to thinking about how good God's been to me. How that when he reached down his hand, the song that I used to sing, I might sing it here this week. He said, I was near to despair when he came to me there. And he showed me that I could be free. Then I lifted my voice. And he gave me joy to evermore rejoice when he reached down his hand for me. Boy, the gospel will take drug addicts. It'll take broken families. It'll take depression. It'll take things that are beyond our control. And it'll make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Brother Bacino, I want to give an invitation. May I do that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
If somebody would play Just As I Am, I've got a request for you. Now, this is unusual. I hope Brother Bacino, he's already been so nice to me. I don't want to do one thing that would upset anybody. But I've got a request. I want all of you ladies, all the ladies to stand right now. Every lady to stand, if you can. How many of you ladies would say, Brother Andrew, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God puts power on your life. I'm going to pray that God will bless our church. I want you ladies to come two by two to this old altar right here that's been the place of prayer for many years. I want you to come right now and pray. Two, get you a friend. And if you don't have somebody, you ladies come two by two by two. Will you come today? Two by two by two. I want you to pray today. You can kneel, stand, or whatever, but I want you to pray. And sin, if you're all right with me, you can pray out loud. Now, I want you men to get over maybe towards this side. Find you a... Ladies, make room for these other precious ladies, will you? I want you men, two by two, if you're interested in America, if you're interested in First Baptist Church, if you want to be a help to Brother Bacino, if you want to be a light to those that are in darkness, how many of you men will come two by two by two and say, we're going to pray? Is that all right today? How many say, preacher, I don't care to pray out loud? Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Do you think we could? Somebody says, well, my neighbor might hear me. More importantly, God might hear you. Let's pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, thank you today for these that have come. Lord, these people here are beautiful people. I can tell they are wonderful people. God, they've already been so nice to me and Shirlene. I want God to have power in my life. I want to be effective. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a missionary. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be one that will promote your kingdom. Forgive me, Lord, for I've sinned and come short. Help me, God, that we do better, every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to turn around and give somebody a hug, that'd be all right. That way they'll know how much you love them.
Tonight we're going to have...